this is the greatest scam in the history of politics, I think, and I'm talking about beyond our nation.
The U.S. president lays into the opposition on day one of the Republican National Convention. This is Wednesday, the 26th of August, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, we have a status report on wildfires in both the U.S. and Australia. Victims of a mass murder in New Zealand continue to have their say. And a citizen of Myanmar has been barred from upcoming elections. It appears because he is Rohingya. It is all on today's VOA Asia. Republicans opened their four-day convention in Charlotte, North Carolina Monday and unanimously nominated President Donald Trump for a second term. Michael Sullivan reports, in a nation battered by COVID-19 and a recession, speakers warned of darker days ahead if Democratic Party nominee Joe Biden is elected.
In Charlotte, a scaled-down convention, partly live and partly pre-recorded, with Republican delegates from around the United States all backing Trump.
So the biggest little delegation of the state of Rhode Island proudly stands united to cast our 19 votes for President Donald J. Trump.
That evening, when the focus shifted from Charlotte to Washington, speaker after speaker defended Trump's handling of the pandemic and economy, as at the Democratic Convention, African Americans and Hispanics held prominent roles, including Nikki Haley, an Indian American and former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations.
The black small business owners who've watched their life's work go up in flames, they matter. The black kids who've been gunned down on the playground, their lives matter too.
Trump was shown at the White House meeting frontline workers who are fighting the pandemic and, citing his accomplishments, recalled his appointment of conservative federal judges, something he said his Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, would not do.
The radical left will demand that he appoints super radical left, wild, crazy justices. Going into the Supreme Court, your American dream will be dead if that happens.
Democrats accused Trump of trying to slow the mail during the pandemic to favor his reelection by suppressing the vote of those likely to back Biden. Trump said Democrats are promoting a vote-by-mail scheme that could expose the election to fraud.
This is the greatest scam in the history of politics, I think, and I'm talking about beyond our nation. And they act like they're aggrieved.
It's a claim ridiculed by Democrats. Viewers were reminded of national protests by the Black Lives Matter movement, hearing from a St. Louis couple who brandished weapons when they felt threatened by protesters.
They're not satisfied with spreading the chaos and violence into our communities. They want to abolish the suburbs altogether.
Trump is trailing in most polls, but the election will depend on who gets out the vote in key swing states like Michigan.
I expect him to have more votes in Michigan than he did last time. And, you know, the energy policies and the manufacturing policies, the new trade agreement, all those things are of massive benefit to Michigan and to the upper Midwest as well.
Republicans have three more nights to try to shape the narrative before the election campaign gets underway in earnest. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
In reaction to day one of the Republican National Convention, a Democratic National Committee tweet said, while Trump and the RNC lie about his failed response to the coronavirus, we are holding him accountable for the more than 5.7 million cases and 175,000 deaths that have happened under his watch. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Amid soaring tensions between the two sides on several fronts, top Chinese and U.S. negotiators agree to push forward their Phase 1 economic deal. A Hong Kong court again denies bail to the first person charged with inciting separatism and terrorism under the new national security law. Japan's prime minister visits the hospital for the second time in a week, fueling speculation he may be facing a serious health issue. New Zealand and South Korea toughen their coronavirus restrictions, and China launches what it says is an advanced warship for the Pakistan Navy. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. As Republicans encourage Americans to vote for President Donald Trump, they're making their case this week from Charlotte, North Carolina, where the pandemic has forced them to dramatically scale back their national convention. Even though the pandemic has shaken American businesses, there are many who say they still have faith in the president's ability to bring economic prosperity back. Isha Sarai has the story from Charlotte.
Throughout the coronavirus pandemic and his campaign for re-election, President Trump has focused his promises on reviving the economy while denouncing his Democratic rival Joe Biden's economic approach.
Biden the other day said, no, he'd shut it down. He'd listen to some guy say, and he'd shut it down. We just broke a record on jobs, an all-time record. There's never been 3 months where we've put more people to work, over 9 million people. And again, we're just about ready to break the all-time stock market record. I mean, you look at it, we're just about ready to do it again. And what that means is everything else is going to follow.
Delegates who formally nominated Trump as the Republican presidential candidate say they trust him to grow the American economy.
Before the pandemic hit, the economy was incredibly strong. You know, we had record unemployment. We had, the stock market was making records every day. Across the board, the economy is really strong. And this pandemic is only temporary. It's going to end eventually, and businesses are going to restart. So the question is, who has the experience to rebuild the economy?
He owns like 15 hotels.
Even delegates unable to attend the convention because of social distancing protocols say they don't blame the president for the current state of unemployment.
I don't think people are necessarily blaming the president more than just the shutdown and the nature of COVID.
Some business owners in the hospitality industry in Charlotte, North Carolina, who were depending on the increased revenue from the Republican National Convention, say they still have faith in President Trump's ability to revive the economy.
The economy's doing pretty decent, if you look at it. I mean, with what it has to play with, I think we're in a good place right now from an economic perspective. I love the economic policies that President Trump has. I think President Trump, if he would tweet less, and which I think he's done a fantastic job over the last month and a half.
But workers at hotels, restaurants, and cafes have been hit hardest by the pandemic, with the hospitality industry reporting that more than one quarter of workers in the industry are unemployed. That accounts for about one third of all job losses in the U.S. economy.
Well, I think the only way I personally feel that we can get the economy back is to shut down the pandemic. So we have to, I think, as a nation, decide that we have to do that first.
President Trump will continue to make his case to the American people as the convention continues virtually throughout the week. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Happening now in Asia, rescue workers in western India pulled a toddler alive from the rubble of an apartment building Tuesday, some 20 hours after it collapsed, killing at least five. The emergency services have found 76 people alive, but there are still around 14 unaccounted for. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Firefighters helped by weather and reinforcements are hoping to continue progress toward extinguishing the California wildfires that have killed at least seven people and ravaged the San Francisco Bay Area and wine country. Fire officials say Tuesday there has been significant progress since the weather turned favorable. The major fires were ignited more than a week ago during an unusual siege of thousands of lightning strikes. Three Northern California fires have burned more than 1,200 homes and other buildings. The deadliest and most destructive of those fires now has containment lines around 25% of it that serve to prevent fires from spreading. An independent report into Australia's Black Summer bushfires has recommended sweeping changes to land clearing practices and the creation of an international research center to investigate extreme fire behavior. The 2019-2020 disaster was unprecedented in scale. The Gosper's Mountain Fire north of Sydney was the largest forest fire ever recorded in Australia, burning more than 500,000 hectares. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
More aggressive hazard reduction or controlled burn-offs that can reduce the severity of future bushfires would make Australia safer, according to an independent panel. However, previous research has shown that as conditions get hotter and drier, it becomes less effective. But the report wants landowners in high-risk areas to increase prescribed burning. It also said that climate change was one of many factors that made last summer so extraordinary. The fires were fueled by record-breaking temperatures and a long drought across southern and eastern Australia. New South Wales State Premier Gladys Berejiklian says global warming is making the country more vulnerable.
The next fire season is already upon us. So the government has taken every action we can already in response to the recommendations that we received. We do have to also accept that in addition to the issues that have been canvassed this morning, our climate is changing. And those who wrote the report actually acknowledge that. Our climate is changing.
The New South Wales State Government has accepted each of the panel's 76 recommendations. The report has called for more scientific research into fighting fires, including the use of artificial intelligence and drones to help put them out quickly. It said the answer wasn't more fire trucks or firefighters. Critics of the inquiry have reportedly said it was lackluster and contained no significant recommendations. The Black Summer fires killed more than 30 people and destroyed thousands of homes. For the first time ever, catastrophic fire conditions had been forecast for Australia's biggest city, Sydney. Ominously, the panel warned that Australia should expect to see similar conditions or worse to happen again. For VOA News, Phil Mercer, Sydney.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Humanitarian workers urge authorities to restore high-speed internet access to help tackle rising infections in Rakhine State, where tens of thousands of people, mostly Rohingya, have been displaced. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Taiwan recently hosted its annual Automation, Intelligence, and Robot Show. The event was separated into five different product categories of smart manufacturing, smart services, service robots, artificial intelligence, and industrial supply, with the main focus on industrial robotic arms. Wang Xu, the Divisional Director for the Industrial Technology Research Institute, spoke on the local availability of the robotic arm.
There are many locally made industrial robotic arms available now. We're quite mature in this sector. Right now, the emphasis, and this is what our research institute is focusing on, is upgrading to a total system solution platform.
Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the demand for autonomous robotic arms has skyrocketed as more factories continue to look to replace human workers with robots. Wang Xu went on to explain the current state of the industry.
This kind of total systems integration can bring about an upgrade of our traditional industrial base. Taiwan's industrial base is still very much medium to small factories. The challenges of these factories are smaller volume output, but more product variety. plus labor shortages due to a decline in the birth rate.
The International Federation of Robotics estimates that by 2022, 4 million industrial robots will be working in factories worldwide. Mahatma Gandhi's iconic pair of gold-plated glasses went up for auction last weekend. East Bristol Auctions in Southwest England received the glass in their mailbox with a letter attached. Andy Stowe is an auctioneer.
We came in one Monday morning to find an envelope rather haphazardly sticking out of our letterbox. A colleague of mine grabbed the envelope, we opened it up, and inside was a pair of spectacles along with a note which said, "These once belonged to Gandhi, give me a call." And we kind of went, okay then. And a few hours later, after lunch, I gave the phone number a call, and we came across this incredible story of these spectacles belonging to Gandhi, given to the vendor's uncle back in around about 1920 or so.
The independence hero gave the glasses to the vendor's uncle while he was working for British Petroleum in South Africa during the 1920s or 30s, said the auction house. Stowe said once the bifocals went under the hammer, the auction house instantly started to receive bets well beyond their initial appraisal.
Our initial estimate on these was actually £10,000 to £15,000 based on some previous auction results for similar items. But very quickly, bids rapidly exceeded £50,000. And as we stand a few days before the sale, it's all still to play for. These are going to sell for a lot of money.
The final sale of the glasses went for £260,000, about $340,000. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
Are my pets safe from coronavirus? There's no current evidence that cats and dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
We continue on VOA Asia. Families of victims gunned down at two New Zealand mosques urged a judge to impose the toughest possible sentence, life without parole, on the gunman during a sentencing hearing on Tuesday. Reuters' Edward Baran reports.
Please, I want you to give this man the highest punishment if you can. I want you not to let this man see the sun.
A survivor of last year's New Zealand mosque shooting, Hazem Mohammed, demanded justice in court on Tuesday. He and other survivors were facing up to white supremacist Brenton Tarrant, a 29-year-old Australian. Kyron Goss is the nephew of victim Linda Armstrong.
She never even stood a chance. To this day, I have not received an apology, nor have I seen any shred of remorse for his despicable actions.
Tarrant is scheduled to be sentenced this week after pleading guilty to 51 murders, 41 attempted murders, and one charge of committing a terrorist act during the 2019 shooting rampage in Christchurch, which he live-streamed on Facebook. Families of victims gunned down and survivors urged the judge to impose the toughest possible sentence, life without parole, on the gunman. Tarrant showed no remorse and even appeared to smirk at one survivor during the hearing. Nathan Smith, originally from the UK, recounted how he held a three-year-old boy as he died in his arms.
When you get a 3 minute, which you'll have plenty of, funny, eh? Very funny. Maybe you should try to read the Quran. It's beautiful. I have nothing else to say to you. But you will be judged. You will be judged.
A murder conviction carries a mandatory sentence of life in prison, but the judge can also rule out parole, a measure that's never been used in New Zealand.
That was Reuters reporter Edward Baran. This is VOA Asia. Rohingya politician Abdul Rashid was born in Myanmar and is one of the very few from the Muslim minority to have Myanmar citizenship. But when the country goes to the polls in November, he will not be able to stand. Libby Hogan reports.
Aspiring politician Abdul Rashid was born in Myanmar. His father was a civil servant, but Rashid's name won't be on the ballot in November. because officials accuse him of having foreign roots. And he's not alone. He's among a half dozen candidates who have been rejected, all of them Muslim Rohingya. Officials say Rashid's parents weren't citizens when he was born, despite documents that Rashid says proves his case. In Myanmar, they do not recognize the term Rohingya or the community as an indigenous ethnic group.
This is a pension letter from my father, and this is an updated ID from my mother. The election commission rejected me, even though I've submitted the form with all required documents. I don't know what the matter is, and I can't find any answer.
The citizenship cards of his parents, called national registration cards, were abruptly withdrawn in the 1990s and replaced with temporary white cards. And then in 2015, with a stroke of the pen, former President Thun Sein nullified the cards, stripping the Rohingya of their right to vote. Successive military governments that ruled Myanmar took away the Rohingya's identity documents, leaving many with no proof of their origins. Rashid hoped an election win for Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi's party would in time see Rohingya rights recognized. But he has had his dreams crushed again.
Now this is a democratic government, and I had high hopes with Aung San Suu Kyi. The 2020 election is under her democratic government, and I'd hoped the policy would be amended and there wouldn't be any discrimination. We thought that we would be accepted as well, but that's not the case.
Of at least a dozen Rohingya candidates that have applied, six have already been rejected, all of them hoping for a chance under Suu Kyi's democratic government. Analysts say the polls on November 8th are an important test of the transition away from direct military rule. But more than 730,000 Rohingya were forced to flee from Myanmar in 2017 after a military crackdown that the UN said was carried out with genocidal intent. Rights groups say the disqualification of Rohingya candidates demonstrates the limits of reform in the country.
Reuters correspondent Libby Hogan reporting. While most parents are stressed about kids and remote online learning, some experts say expect more of that in the future. And that may be a good thing. Deanna Mitchell has more.
As many children begin the school year online, parents struggle with how to get their kids to learn through a screen. But tech CEO Nicole Lazzaro is excited. She hopes the pandemic will be a catalyst for change in technology and education.
It's this turning point in history because for my entire career, I've tried to get, you know, more technology into the classroom, but there's been so much resistance.
Lazzaro is passionate about games. She is a veteran game designer and develops games in virtual and augmented realities. She's also been hired by game companies like Electronic Arts and movie and TV studios such as LucasArts, the Cartoon Network, and Nickelodeon.
100% of the world's students are, you know, online learners right now. The use of games and that online learning environment, the use of VR, the use of AR, there's just this huge potential.
One of Lazzaro's games, To Follow the White Rabbit, takes players on a virtual trip around the world.
You can go to all of these different locations in the world. We have algebra, you know, that came from the Middle East. We've got, you know, paper that comes from China. And we can really see how the world evolved, world cultures evolved, and how interdependent we really all are.
Lazzaro said kids are much more likely to retain information they learn in VR, as it's an experience rather than a lecture. Of course, not all kids have computers or smartphones, let alone a VR headset. Christine Greenhow is an education professor at Michigan State University.
Get students high-speed internet, get them devices, get them connected, get them supported. And then once that happens, there's a long list of technologies like virtual reality that I think could be wonderful tools.
Lazzaro agrees that there is a lot that needs to be done before VR goes mainstream.
We need to deliver the hardware at a cheap price point. We need to educate the teachers so that they can understand how to use it. And then we need to give the experiences in VR.
It's a vision that parents worried about their children's online education may come to embrace. Deanna Mitchell for VOA News, Oakland, California.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for being with us today. And thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Try to stay as safe as you can and enjoy the day ahead.